Hi, everybody. It's Tony Kornheiser. I'm not actually on this week's episode. So if you want to skip the rest of this, you do that with my blessing.
Cause this show stinks. 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 This show stinks.
Chaputzvah! Welcome to the TK Jingles 2015 Year in Review Spectacular. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. As loyal listeners of this podcast know, we feature songs from the Tony Kornheiser Radio Show and TKJingles.com. But today, rather than giving you background to some of those songs, we've compiled audio clips of some of the most memorable moments from Tony's show this past year and aligned them with the jingle that they inspired. So if you listen to Tony's show every day, you generally understand what a jingle is referencing, but this format will let you enjoy the moment that actually inspired the jingle and the song in real time as you take a journey through the past 12 months. Tony often says that his show provides information for life, and after listening to today's episode, I think you'll have to agree. Today, Tony will teach us the appropriate response when you experience a minor disruption to your cable signal. We'll listen with bated breath as we learn of a dangerous narcotic sting involving Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. We'll learn amazing new words to use to pander to voters. And we will ask the musical question, does Michael know it's raining? So sit back and enjoy 2015, the year in review.
I will tell you that I got to watch the first 7 or 8 minutes of SportsCenter, and then I began getting this terrible tiling on my television, so I flipped over to WRC where I got terrible tiling, and this continued for the entire hour. Like at 6:15, it came back literally for 10 seconds.
Yeah, same here.
And then it was out. And at 6:24, it came back for 15 seconds. And then it was out. And at 6:27, it came back for 10 seconds. And then it was out. And by that point, I just said, well, we're not going to have it. The set. And it wasn't just that, by the way, but my computer. When I went to the computer figuring, okay, I'll read stuff on the computer. I'll try to figure this out. That didn't work. I mean, it just sort of stopped. You'd answer an email, and it would just stop in the middle. And it took me a long time to turn it off, even. It wasn't responding to anything. Now, my first reaction, because people who know me will anticipate this. My first reaction actually was to believe that my cable system was being hit because there was going to be a home invasion. So I went downstairs, and I picked up the axe. I have an axe. It's Michael chopped
hatchet
wood.
Or a hatchet.
A hatchet.
Like a little hammer.
And I had this, like a hammer invasion.
With a blade on the end, not a long
and
handle.
And sharp.
Right.
And I carried that in my right hand, and hatchet. I was waiting for them to come in, but nobody was coming in.
Why would one thing be
that's
a
how I
of
just
that?
Buried that
that's how
totally
I roll.
Totally logical job.
That's how I roll.
I see my cables out, and I've got a sinking feeling what that portends. I slip quietly down the stairs, because I keep all my axes down there. And I pick one up, I'm fearing a home invasion, the only logical explanation. I'm dripping with perspiration, because my TV's pixelation. And I'm headed a home invasion, my paranoid isolation. Need psychiatric evaluation, maybe just a long vacation.
I'm going to tell a story now. Yeah. So this is the way my schedule has worked so far. After I do the radio, I go back and I start to get ready for PTI. And sometimes I go out and I get something to eat because I'm hungry. But also, because we don't have Bagel City here, so I'm hungry. Kalila, who's Wilbon's assistant, who's been out here helping out with everything from the PTI show, Kalila will say, I'll go get sandwiches. And she'll say, what kind of sandwich do you want? And she'll go out and get sandwiches. And the first 2 or 3 days, she'd bring the sandwiches, and I didn't like them. I didn't want them. I didn't eat them. And so I decided then on Wednesday, something opens up in the compound area where the sets are.
Right.
Subway Sandwiches opens up a trailer where they're going to make sandwiches for the people at ESPN. Okay. So this is a good thing.
Do you like Subway sandwiches?
I do.
Sandwiches.
So on Wednesday, I go in there, and I've already eaten because I didn't know about the Subway sandwich. I went and got breakfast somewhere, late breakfast somewhere, and Khalilah again brought the sandwiches, and I didn't eat them. So when I found out the Subway sandwich thing was there on Wednesday, I went in, I talked to them, and I said, I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to come back tomorrow and have, because you had a choice of like four or five Subway sandwiches.
So you didn't order then. Gave them a heads up that you were going to be back tomorrow to get them excited.
Yes, I walked in there. They had me sign a football or whatever you're supposed to do. And so now I'm really excited because on Thursday, which is yesterday, I'm going to get a Subway sandwich. I'm actually thinking about this all morning. I truly am. I'm thinking about it all morning because I didn't like the other sandwich. Khalilah did her best, but I didn't really like the place that she went to. And then I didn't go out and get food. I did not. I got to there. I got to the set area at about 3:30 Eastern, a quarter to 4 Eastern.
Are you sure?
Time, somewhere
when
in there. Are,
okay.
And I'm so happy that this is going to happen. And I get on the bus because Jeff's bus is still here. I get on the bus. I put my stuff down. There's a lot of people on the bus. Drew Brees is filming some commercial, and he's on the bus for makeup or something like that. And just, the bus was really crowded. There's a guy.
Sounds like a star-studded bus.
There's a guy sitting down who I don't know. He's some sort of broadcaster. I don't know who he is. And I hear him say, I just got the last sandwich. It's a Subway sandwich. And I just look at him, and I have this quizzical look. And I look at Khalilah, and Khalilah runs out of the bus to the Subway sandwich place. She comes back. It's closed.
Oh.
It's closed. They're done for the day. And I said, I've banked my whole day on this. This is all I wanted all day. I changed my entire eating habits that I could get a Subway sandwich. And she said, well, you know, there's a mall 10 feet from here. And there is. This place, Fashion Square. You just walk across the open area where all the sets are.
Yeah, but you don't want to go
and
there
And I'm not
now.
Going there.
No, you're not going there.
I said, I'm not going to a mall.
You want Subway.
No, she says there's a Subway in the mall.
Oh.
I said, but I'm not going there. She said, well, I'll go there. And I go, no. It's no. And my day was ruined because of a Subway sandwich. Now I don't know what to do today.
Is this a serious story?
This is a total true story.
No, the end there. You didn't have her go to Subway and get your sandwich?
I did not. And in fact, you know
so
what
you
I did?
Chose not to eat?
She went into the Subway trailer, and they were no longer making sandwiches, and she came back with what turned out to be my lunch, which was two bags of Sun Chips. I couldn't have been more angry in my ever. I
was Subway at the trailer or Subway in the mall was going to be the same.
But I like to pick out the things myself. I like
just
to say a little bit
write
of that
it down on a piece
and
of
not
paper and
some
hand
of those.
To her.
I don't remember all of them.
Oh my God, you're impossible.
So that's the last time I had a Subway sandwich was, I don't know, 1994 or something like that. But I remember them fondly.
1994?
I really remember them fondly. And I wanted to have one.
Well, you could have had one.
Tony went to Arizona for the game. He missed his bagel city breakfast every day. The missing food would ruin his mood. The oatmeal squares were poor.
Yeah. Lunch was also troublesome for him to get, but ESPN brought an answer to the set. A sandwich that he hadn't had since 1994.
A local color, gold and green, endorsed on air by RG3.
Tony thought he'd eat a Subway sandwich.
Yes, he'd love to eat a Subway sandwich, packed with vegetables to crunch. A sub would make an awesome lunch.
Looking forward to a Subway sandwich. Yes, he'd love to eat a Subway sandwich. It had bread and turkey and pickles and peppers, no cheese. They brought a trailer for the crew to get the grub, and Tony salivated at what was to come. But soon he'd find, losing his mind, all the sandwiches were gone.
There was a Subway in the mall at Fashion Square, but Tony didn't want to set a foot in there. A food court trip could make him flip. The whole thing just seemed wrong.
Khalilah offered to go and fetch, but Tony said he'd rather kvetch.
So he didn't get a Subway sandwich.
No, he didn't get a Subway sandwich. Two bags of Sun Chips were all he had. It left him feeling really mad.
For he didn't
It would have had cucumbers and the peppers and some lettuce and tomatoes, onions and some spinach and a little mashed potato.
I'm just hungry, I don't care if I lose a lot of weight like Jared.
What the heck's that salami and sriracha and some lettuce,
tomato and vinegar and a little Baja sauce.
Oh, and you can hold the honey mustard sandwich.
Yes, you can hold the honey mustard. Hey, where'd everybody go? Still trying to place my order here, guys.
So play it one more time as Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norment attempts to get in touch with his inner Jewishness.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
What a dope. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on, Tony. Don't call him a dope. He was actually using a Yiddish word that you don't know.
Chutzpah.
Chutzpah has a whole deeper resonance that only Virginia Jews know about.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now on ESPN 980.
I'm amazed that that has not gone further around the country, at least into big cities where people could make fun of it. Just play that again. Play it a lot. Because Tori and Gary were not here yesterday, so they need to hear this like live in the studio.
Why don't you set it up? Because there's probably many listeners.
People who don't know this. This guy is the Senate leader, Senate Majority Leader in the House of Delegates, if that's what it's called,
in the Commonwealth
of Virginia. Okay? And he's, the context of this, if I remember correctly, is something like, you know, politicians ought to be able to get pay raises, but then it doesn't work out politically, so they don't really do it. And just play it.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Just unbelievable. It's not, it can't. I assume he's trying to say chutzpah, but chutzpah.
I wouldn't assume that.
What is he trying to say, chutzpah? What is that?
Can you turn it into a verb? Or go chutz yourself?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, that's just.
Play it again.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
What does his district look like? What does his office look like? That's. Yeah. What does it look like?
I thought it was spectacular. I just happened to have it on in the car yesterday, and I had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. God bless them.
I don't have any patience for that Michigan.
So we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
I'd love to get the guy on, but it would be a terrible interview.
I'm sure it would be terrible.
I'm sure. So people would say, "Oh, you know, you owe it to him." No, we don't. We don't owe it him.
We don't do equal time.
No,
we do our time.
Right. We don't. You know, just one more, please.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
What's interesting is he's actually sounded like he was actually concentrating on saying it correctly.
There are people I know who like to use the word shtick, but they say stick.
Doesn't work.
They stick.
That's a great
they
stick
can't
you've got.
That's good. Great stick.
They can't do it. Yeah,
in fact,
what a
it is.
Stick.
You can hear my stick to set it up.
Yeah. And so this is not infrequent, but not that many people go out on a limb in a speech. Just play it again. It's so good.
A word I can use to gain nachos from Jews.
Chaputzpah.
With a wonderful stick like this, I could never lose.
Chaputzpah,
a great Yiddish word called chaputzpah. And when the word is said, a wave of Jewish cred for me. Chaputzpah, I'll top off my speech with chaputzpah. Then I'll be such a maker, address the goyim later, you'll see. Chaputzpah, say it loud, many votes it'll win ya. Say it soft like a Jew from Virginia. Chaputzpah, I'll never stop saying chaputzpah. I'll admit chutzpah may have been a more Geharic word. Shabbat.
Well, Tony, this is an interesting story. Tito and Amanda Watts were arrested over the weekend in Jacksonville, Florida, for selling...
By the Waffle House.
Which one?
Near the Waffle House. Tito and Amanda Watts were arrested over the weekend for selling golden tickets to heaven to hundreds of people. Well, the couple who sold the tickets on the street for $99.99 per ticket.
That's the Pacquiao fight.
Exactly.
That's the Pacquiao fight.
Told buyers the tickets were made from solid gold, and each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates, and you're in. Quote, people can sell tickets to heaven, a Jacksonville police spokesman said.
But they can't say they're all gold.
But the Watts misrepresented their product.
That's right.
The tickets were just wood spray-painted gold. With ticket to heaven, admit one, written in magic
admit
marker.
Admit one.
You can't sell something as gold when it's not. That's where the Watts crossed the line into doing something illegal.
Well, you can certainly sell tickets to heaven.
Mr. Tito Watts had some thoughts on this. He said, quote, I don't care what the police say. The tickets are solid gold. It ain't cut up 2x4s. I spray painted gold. And it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC.
There you go.
Jesus does do some work behind the KFC.
And it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC and said to sell them so I could get some money to go to outer space. I met an alien named Stevie. That was not behind the KFC. He said, I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got the cash together, he'd take me and my wife on his flying saucer to his planet that's made entirely of crack cocaine. You can smoke all the crack cocaine there you want totally free. So try to send an innocent man to jail and see what happens. You should arrest Jesus because he's the one that gave me the golden tickets and told me to sell them. I'm willing to wear a wire to set Jesus up.
That's great. Wearing a wire.
Yeah.
That's great.
Meantime, the wife stood right behind him, saying, we just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and smoke some rock cocaine. I didn't do nothing. Tito sold the golden tickets to heaven. I just watched. Police said they confiscated over $10,000 in cash, 5 crack pipes, and a baby alligator.
That's a nice alligator.
This happened in Florida. Yes. Of course. It's inevitable.
Here's a picture of Tito. Yeah, hold that up for News Channel 8.
He's got a lot of face tattoos. That's problematic.
Yeah. I feel like he's got the glasses.
And Amanda, she's a looker, huh?
Why would you buy stuff from these people?
Oh, it's a golden ticket to heaven.
That is great. That's great.
Admit just the one.
Yeah.
Just the one.
One evening as the sun went down behind the 7-Eleven, through the trash came a crackhead walking and selling gold tickets to heaven. For 99 bucks you get eternal life, and that's a bargain, damn it. And with your dough I get to go to the Big Rock Cocaine Planet, to the Big Rock Cocaine Planet, on a saucer built for three. God told me of his master plan behind the KFC. But the popo picked him up real quick. Seems the gold wasn't legit. With pipes and blow and big cash, you know, and a baby alligator and a wife in tow, there'll be no cocaine planet.
I think we should make the announcement.
Oh, big announcement.
Hit the
drum roll. Many of you people thought that the announcement would be that I was quitting. And I am quitting, but not today. The announcement is that we just found out on Friday, the station manager, Rick Carmine, came in and said, you can release the podcast, release the hounds.
We're free, baby.
Same day.
Boom.
Same day. So now podcast. You can all have the podcast.
Mr. Tony
I'm
is
very,
free.
I'm very grateful. I think that's really nice.
Yes. The best guess, other than your retirement, was that you had found the red bocce ball.
About 4 years ago, I can still remember how the weasels tried to ruin Tony's show. They said, let's delay today's podcast and direct folks to the live broadcast, and maybe we can make some extra dough. But as it dragged on, it made folks bitter. Free Mr. Tony was trending on Twitter. Management didn't notice, and the littles felt so hopeless. So I have to say I almost cried when Nigel hinted at a big surprise. One day I finally listen live. The day the delay dies. So Monday you'll finally hear Monday show. Oh, and Tuesday you can download Tuesday show. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you can get all of those shows. Cause the podcast delay finally died.
Of the Huffington Post, where he is trans global emperor of politics all around the world.
You know, that story on the front page about the Hubble telescope?
Yes.
That's what you need to see where I am and what I do.
I thought you were so on that telescope.
Globally. Intergalactic, Tony. Yeah. Intergalactic.
Intergalactic, power timing, intergalactic, power timing, power timing, intergalactic, power timing, power timing, intergalactic, power timing, power timing, intergalactic,
he's the transglobal emperor of the Huffington Post. Ariane is boss, but he's political pope. On anything governmental, he's so dope. If you really want to see, you need a telescope. And when I say telescope, I mean Hubble. Presidents he's interviewed more than a couple. Like a policy bias, he'll burst your bubble. You step to him and you'll be in trouble. Oh, big time shows he's been a panelist, honored by Society of Professional Journalists. But much more important than all of this, he's the father of celebrity intern Nick. His progeny knows civics better than you, son. He even knows who's gonna win the next election. Ask him for knowledge, drop a metric ton. He's intergalactic, Howard Feynman.
Intergalactic, Howard Feynman.
Howard, how did you like that? That's good, isn't it?
I got to say, that's probably the only rap song with the phrase Society of Professional Journalists.
Probably is.
That's, okay.
Yeah. Can I talk about another bocce ball?
Oh, you didn't get to that yesterday.
We found, if people remember, people who listen to this show, remember that last year, Liz, before she was my daughter-in-law, when she was Liz Hardwick, she and her sister Kate and her sister Thayer used to come over and still do come over for dinner on a regular basis, which my son cooks. My son is great at barbecue.
This was a last spring cookout, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
It was. Yeah. So Liz had bought a bocce ball set. The bocce ball set, as Tommy well knows, consists of either three or four pair, I think four pair, of similarly colored large bocce balls. So there's a black, there's a yellow, there's a blue, there's a green, there's a red, whatever, however it is. On this particular, and we used to go in the backyard and we used to play bocce. So at one point, the ball that we're all taking a shot at is in an area very close to a thickly wooded area at the property line.
Right.
Okay, now I blame Liz for this. I think she threw the ball, but I don't know. We lose it. It disappears into the underbrush. And we can't find it. So I want to conduct a search party. I want to basically exfoliate the entire area. Okay, I want to go in.
Lay it to waste. Right.
I want to kill the whole thing, and I want to get the bocce ball. And next door, one of the guys says, you know, you got rabbits in there. Okay, so we back away. And so just the other day, Liz and Kate decide they're going to find the bocce ball. And Kate takes like a raking device. It's not really a raking device. It was a smaller rake, like a small personal rake.
A hand rake?
Something like wood. You know, I don't know.
Wood like stuff.
I've not seen
where,
it
where did she get
I
that?
I don't even know where she got it from.
Yeah.
I've not seen it before.
Out of your house, the only thing I know is it wasn't a pitchfork.
I don't know what it was. Or
you're
a
not
shovel.
Not bailing a lot of
it
hay.
It wasn't a shovel.
At the Kornheiser.
So then she's hunting around, and she and Liz and Michael decide it's in this particular area. And I say, it's nowhere near there. It's much higher up. And they say, you're a stupid old man. You don't know what you're talking about. And indeed, Kate goes wild because Kate uncovers it. She's poking around. Rabbits are flying out of this area. Kate is poking around and claims to have found the missing red bocce ball. Then Liz says, where is it? And Kate points to it with this raking-like device. And Liz crawls in crawls into
with
the area.
With the miner's helmet on.
Crawls into the area of the underbrush and you know, comes out exclaiming Eureka and holding up the bocce ball, which I then washed after a long winter's ruin. You know, I washed it. It's not quite what it was before, but it's close
Michael
enough.
Michael texted me a picture of it.
Yeah, so we,
Nigel and I both.
Did you send it out?
I didn't tweet it out because I didn't want to. I didn't want a spoiler alert there.
Okay, so we now have it, and now all I have to do is find the bag with all the other bocce balls.
Bocce, bocce, wanna come play bocce, bocce, baby.
Such a thrill,
such a thrill, play bocce, yeah, yeah.
Wait, just what is bocce, baby? Where's the red ball, bocce? In the brush, grab that ring thing, bocce. Listen here,
everybody loves to toss those bocce balls around to aim the big wood balls at the others on the ground. Liz just hurled the red one. Where'd it go? Let's be sure to blame her. It wasn't me, you know. Glad to hear the bunnies flourish in the flora. Not like Tori's backyard, world of bunny horror. Hey, Liz, where's the red one? Bocce, bocce ball.
Yeah.
Check in the shrub for the red one, y'all. Bocce, bocce ball.
Yeah.
What is the deal with bocce?
Ow.
Bocce, bocce balls,
yeah.
So glad we found the red one, y'all. Bocce, bocce balls. Where'd Tony put the others?
I'm going to just start with a personal appeal to the District of Columbia. Crop Medcalf, we had, I think I talked about this 2 weeks ago, we had leaks in the pipes in our house. And we called Crop Medcalf.
Yeah, the basement.
We have plumbing contract with Crop Medcalf. And they came over right away, and they identified the problem as a break in a pipe underneath the house. So they blasted through the concrete in the basement, and they found the pipe, and they repaired the pipe. And I said, well, what now? And they said, well, now we have to wait for the District of Columbia to inspect it before we put the concrete back.
Been through that.
And I said, how long is that going
to
take?
6 to 12 years.
And they said, we don't really know. I thought maybe it would take a week. It's longer than a week.
It's still unfinished.
It's going to take a week. It's unfinished. I have animals. I have things coming up from the basement in my house now. And I would like, if I am a taxpayer in the District of Columbia, I have met the mayor. In my life.
Boom.
I would like somebody to just come over and look at it.
Hold up.
Within the next week.
Did you scroll through a check?
I didn't know, but I've mentioned her a lot on the air.
There you go.
I've always said I liked her.
Right.
I don't want to change that opinion. Could somebody just come to my house and look at the fine work that was done? Because Crop Medcalf, this is expensive. And now we just paid one-third of the... They're going to want their money, and they've done what they're supposed to do. And again, I'm a taxpayer without any particular liens against me.
I have the same thing happen to us.
How long?
This was about two summers ago, but I'm in Montgomery County. They came out the day after.
This is 10 or 12 days now. This is 10 or 12 days now.
You have an open wound.
Yes.
In the earth.
I've got a great gaping hole in my house.
Right. It's the phrase... I don't know. When asked, when will they be here? I don't know. I mean, it's just...
You know what was cool about...
No, sometime between now and never.
Can you check this out? When we got ours done, we had the same thing happen. It was the line that came in from the yard, right? So they determined that it was our line and not the county's line. So what they did was they pulled the stump where they drilled out from the basement out. And then they got a tow truck that pulled up in front of the house. And they used a chain and a tow truck to pull the pipe instead of digging up the entire yard and digging up our entire basement. They used a tow truck to yank it out.
I have, if you go into my basement now, it is 2 feet across and 8 to 10 feet long. It's open. The earth is there.
Right.
I mean,
so when you say
tigers,
you don't like it,
hippos, anything could be coming up through there.
When you say and will, not just could.
When you say you have animals now encroaching in the house, have you actually had stuff crawl up the stairs?
We now believe that we have rats and mice and stuff like that. You know, just fill it in, and then we'll take care of the rest. We'll take care of the rest, but it's 8 to 10 days now.
You don't live near those rabid raccoons, right?
I might. I don't know. I don't, because they migrate. Anyway.
You could probably just do your own concrete pour there. You're comfortable with that sort of thing.
I've got a hippopotamus in my basement. He came right through the whole crop Metcalf trill. He only had 10 days to find his way in there. Because Ward 4 took so long to get down here. I've got a hippopotamus in my basement. I don't think he should be there now, do you? He don't know who I am. He don't play bocce ball. And if he sticks around much more, he'll drive me off the wall. But I can't see me tomorrow morning walking down the stairs. Oh, the bouncer's in my legs when I see him boiling eggs. I may adopt him cause it's funny when he bakes. Well, I've got a hippopotamus in my basement. I don't need a hippopotamus now, do you? Please fix my hole, I ask elected councilmen. They aren't concerned with an aging bald orange man. Next week I guess I'll take him to the zoo.
All right, so let me get to Saliza now. If you remember, Saliza on this show yesterday talked about the fact that he had seats in the presidential section.
Was very coy about them.
Would not reveal the source of those seats.
Or if he paid for them.
Right.
So last night, I'm looking at the game. I glance and I go, whoa. Just like that, I go, whoa, out loud. And then the next pitch, it's a right-handed batter for Miami, and there's Saliza in the front row, like Bob Uecker, in the absolute front row.
Yeah.
So I start emailing Michael and Gary furiously last
well,
night.
I
he's drinking red wine, bottom second drinking red wine.
You never drink wine at a stadium.
Of course not.
And by the way, he's not even watching the game. He's talking to this guy in a pinkish hat.
His ear off.
Just yapping.
I have 7:41 text from Tony. Saliza in the front row, exclamation point. Every shot of right-handed hitter you see him. Top first, he's eating. How did he get that seat?
Right.
8:13, Saliza drinking wine, bottom of the second. Not paying much attention pitch by pitch, yakking to guy on his left.
He's
Nigel chimed in,
sushi.
Looks to be a nice Merlot. 10 minutes later, Tony, he isn't really watching, he's just yakking. 8:37, Saliza not in seat, top of third, Orchid out of game. Fister pinch hits and remarkably gets a single. But where is Saliza? So Tony's going nuts here.
Then I stop.
Saliza back, bottom four.
Right.
8:45. Now,
if you
tuned in late,
it's
you would have missed him.
Front row.
Because I see.
I think the excitement in your voice, as you called me, and you said, are you in front of your television? No, I'm just pulling in my ass right now. It was as if, you know, the Hindenburg just blew up. You right. must check this
well,
out.
You know how excited I get when I see people on TV.
That was brilliant.
It was very exciting.
The over right-handed batters, he's yapping to his left. He wasn't even watching, pitch by pitch. I saw him drink red wine, yeah, I think it was a Merlot. How'd he ever get there? I need to know about the seats of Chris Saliza. .741, absolute front row, he's eating. 8:13, he's not watching, yapping and drinking. 8:37, Chris is missing the orchid top. Vista hits a single, now he's back in the seats of Chris Saliza.
Larry joins us now. Larry, did you emceed some big dinner last night or the night before for Bud Selig? What was that that you did?
It was the annual Scouts dinner. They hold it here every middle of January every year to support, you know, Scouts in baseball have no pension.
Really?
No, they're not taken care of, so they hold this annual dinner, raise a lot of money to take care of Scouts, who are the forgotten people in baseball and might be one of the more important people. So, excuse me, it's a big guy. I got bronchitis. Chance King. Mark that name down. Chance King, you'll be seeing him in the pros. He's that good a player.
Robert Berg is the name, and I download in Pittsburgh, PA. It's been about 16 years that I've been listening to TK. My favorite bits include the Heads Draft, the Snackdown, and the B. Arthur Crack. But January 19th of this year is a show that I hold oh so dear. The time Larry King almost died on air, he was really coughing. It sounded like a giant ball of air was strangling his uvula. He went
a hulu.
Larry caught his breath and kept babbling on. His talking compulsion's insane. But in just a few minutes' time, we were back with the hacking refrain. Then he started raving about his son Chance. She and Aunt Saliza looked askance. Is this guy loopy on Sudafed? Why'd you name a kid Chance? Was the question that went unsaid. The time Larry King almost died on air, it was pretty repulsive. This bronchial tubes were in disrepair, but he just wouldn't stop talking. He went
Chance.
There is going to be a TK Jingles event coming up in June in Springfield, Virginia.
I think we should go to that event.
From Carol Conley, of course, what is more likely, Tiger misses the cut at both remaining majors, Spieth wins them both, or Mr. Tony attends the TK Jingles event Saturday evening? I'll hang up and listen. I think I'm in play.
I'd like to hand over the microphone to the guest of honor here, Tony Kornheiser.
Thank you.
I was debating whether or not to show up because it was so frightening to think there'd only be five people here. And I'm glad Maureen and Nigel and Gary convinced me to do it. I will be very brief. I know I don't have to pay for beers anymore, so that's good. That's the Mr. Tony experience. It's a great, of all the things that I do, nothing has ever been, including writing, including TV, nothing has ever been as satisfying as doing radio, because your personality comes through, and if people turn on the radio, they like you. It's not for the guests, and it's not for the bits, and it's because they like you. So I appreciate that from all of you. But it is stunning. We try to do a smart show. We forgive anything for smart and funny. It is stunning, the talent out there. Was it your idea to start doing jingles? Gary's idea, but a long time ago. And the stuff that comes in every day is just amazing. We sit there, and I know I say it on radio. I say that I'm amazed by it and gratified by it, and maybe you don't believe it, but Nigel will tell you, we're agape at how brilliant all these things are. Even the ones that are just done for laughs, they're all brilliant. It's so great to see you all, and thank you so very much. Please keep them coming. Thank you.
It was pretty damn shocking our chins hit the floor. The looks on our faces as he walked through the door. He said he might show, yeah, but this guy wakes up at dawn. He even brought Nigel and Gary Braun. Saturday in Virginia, it was quite a scene, with songs about David, Kevin, Howard and Gene. If that's all there was, well, that would have been enough. Then in came the Orange Man, Amazing Stuff. And we know you'll tell everybody you stayed up past nine. You took lots of pictures with us, and you didn't whine. And it was raining, did you tell Michael? Had to put that in the song. I'll write more in September. Until then, so long.
Hello, this is Jerry.
It's Kornheiser. What can I do for you? And so we hired this young woman named Serafina, and she's great. Although I'm sure she's going to get me fired. I'm sure.
Do you have any plans to join the Facebook or the Twitter? I mean, maybe in the last year of your contract, just go out with a bang?
Can't. No. No, when my contract's over, I'll get on and I'll start crushing people. But not now. Not while I'm being paid. You cannot jeopardize the payments.
Maybe the last week.
And I know who I am. I would be hostile. You know, I would be hostile. As Doc Walker would say, I'd be hostile and verbile. That's what I would be.
Are you somebody who holds grudges or something? You don't strike me as that kind of person.
Can't imagine, can you? Okay, we did some time. You got any more?
What's that? Oh, are you talking to me, Tony?
I got to get ready for work.
Sitting in my office, I wait patiently for an interview. Gary said Tony will call you. His phone number's not for the likes of you. Phone rings, it's Tony, prepared for the worst. He's gonna leave halfway through. Well, that's hardly a first. He went golfing, then more golf. Sounds like it's all he's done. Played around with Wilbon and the president. I'll bet that was fun. He won't give details. Maybe some other time. Abruptly says goodbye. Check the box, helped you out. Your time's up, Jerry. We did some time. Gotta stop you right there, cause this is boring. We did some time. I would love to do more, but not really. We did some time. I'd rather do something else and enjoy my vacation. We did some time. We did some time. We did some time. We did some time.
We have another song today, do we not?
Yes, we do.
We have a song. A Bruce Springsteen song from Liz.
Hudson Days, they run it out on the field in pursuit of the playoff dream. But it's tough when Matt Jones coughs up the ball and gives it to the other team. Try to break through that defensive line, but they just keep rejecting. Wind up looking at third line. Oh, can't do nothing for the running backs. They just get trapped. So the ground game is crap now. Season's done. If they want to make the playoffs, maybe they should learn to run. Come on, Gruden, coach them up. Maybe they should learn to run. Don't want it cause no fuss.
From Elliot Olshansky in Hot Dog, New York. Dear Mr. Tony, with Liz Clark back in the studio on Tuesday,
that's awesome.
I can only imagine that you and the gang are eagerly awaiting the next installment of what I like to call the Springsteen Taters Project, wherein we jingle-riding littles use the music of Liz's beloved Bruce Springsteen to narrate the ups and downs of your local NFL team season. I'm pleased to answer the call with Learn to Run, my first collaboration with Steve Lipton,
yes,
who did the singing of Springfield, Virginia. Best regards from Suffolk County, which I understand is an upcoming destination of one Courtney the Goddess. While I will be unable to attend her performances, I highly recommend the Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmingdale for checking up on her lock of the week while she's in town. How great was that? How'd you, how'd you... Sales Street between Connecticut and 17th. So to go to 10th and Pennsylvania is about, honestly, 10, 12 blocks.
What time?
Well, I left at 6:15.
I hope you got a chopper.
I had no idea.
Miserable.
I had no idea that I don't do this.
Total gridlock down there. Total. At that time. You,
all trying to get raining. Across the river.
And it was
on
raining.
On K Street. Wow. No, it wasn't raining last night. It wasn't raining.
Oh.
So you're on K. So anyway, so I do something. I say, I don't want to take my car. I want to leave my car in the garage. So I want to take a cab. And then I finally say, you know what? Why don't I do what the kids do? Or what Tori does.
Hoverboard.
Why don't I take an Uber?
Oh.
Like, you take Ubers all the time.
I love
and I
Uber.
Knew you'd be excited.
Love Uber.
Now, last year, I had registered for Uber. I never used it, but I had registered. I, of course, did not remember, because nobody remembers their password. That your life is, in your life, you're asked to use 10,000 passwords. I like to use one, but then they always tell me, no, you have to use a different one. So I cannot keep track of my passwords. So Bonnie is helping me, and Tierney is helping me. And what is your pay? And I finally, they figure it out and I get a new password. So now I have a new password and now I'm ready to go on Uber with the great help of Bonnie and Tierney in the office yesterday. And Tierney says to me when we finish the PTI show, when do you want to leave? And I said, well, I promised Linda Roth that I would get, I even maneuvered to get Michael and Liz an invitation.
Nice.
Being a good dad, I thought we might have dinner together because I thought this would be a place where you sat down and you had dinner. I didn't think that everyone who had left Syria in the last month would be at this restaurant.
Right.
Yeah,
a little more crowded.
I didn't
than you
think
thought.
There'd be 500 people there.
Somehow I didn't get invited. People. Even so,
I didn't know. So I'll tell that story in a second. But I'm going to take an Uber and I say, all right, I got to be there at 6:30. Why don't you call the Uber? How long does it take for the Uber to get here? And they said, 2 minutes. That's all, just 2 minutes.
That time of day.
Now, also, Wilbon said, don't get regular Uber. Get Uber Black. Yes. And I said, what is the difference? And he said, regular Uber, you know, you just could end up in a dirty car. You
right.
can end up in a Toyota.
That's
I said, a Toyota
true.
Corolla?
True.
And he
true.
Said,
it
just take Uber
Beetle.
Black.
That's what, yeah.
Take
that's...
Uber Black. And I said, what is that? He said, it's big.
It's like an SUV
man
or
of
a
your,
town car. Or
man of
like
your
that.
Ilk is an Uber Black.
I've never done this before. I said, is it more expensive? And once you ask that question, just like Tori is now, it's a shrug. Of course it is. So what? You're rich, right?
Right.
That's the shrug. That's what the shrug means. Okay. I'm excited. I'm going to take an Uber. In fact, when I'm in the Uber, I text. This is so millennial. I'm in an Uber. I'm texting. I text my daughter, Elizabeth. I text my son, Michael, and I say, I'm in an Uber.
Things are happening. Old dad's
in an Uber.
The eagle has landed.
I do. I actually text, I'm in an Uber.
Did you Snapchat them?
I don't know how to do that. Nat came to pick me up in a Suburban. I thought I was going with the president. He's in Suburbans all the time. I get in the Suburban at about 11 after 6. It's there in 1 minute.
Yep.
It's there in 1 minute. And they have all sorts of things that they do to guarantee that you're the right person and they're the right person. There's a lot of communication. I hate this communication. I don't like my cell phone to ring. I don't want to take your calls. I don't want your texts. I don't want anything about it. Anyway, Tracy is there, and Tracy is recording this moment for posterity.
Of course.
And I go down with... in the elevator with Tierney and Bonnie and the Uber's there and Tracy's taking pictures, which I'm sure is out on some website somewhere. And it's Nat, the driver, and I get in the Uber and we're ready to go. It's a wonderful Joe Arrow song about I'm working my way back to Euro about the about the hurricane. But we have another Joe Arrow song, an Uber Joe
Trumped
Arrow
himself.
Song. It's just spectacular when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
When you're traveling, you need a ride to 10th and Penn from work. There at PTI, I'll pick you up. Oh, just call me now. Just like your baseball team, hope you enjoy your first ride with Uber. You can text in my car, check your email when the ride is over. We build your credit card.
Are you kidding me? Do you know how hard it is to do that?
I went to dinner last night with a Palm. So now we're done, and I'm going to walk back. And Michael and Liz, they're going to walk back with me. Except there is a monsoon outside. Everybody goes back inside, and then Nathan finally says, look, I got to go. And he says to his father, to Alan, and to me, just to get in the car. And I said, okay, drop me off on the Sales Street. And it is like flood rain. I get up to right at the Hilton, which is like four blocks, and I can sense that the rain is lessening. So I call Michael at the Palm, and I say, you know, I'm only just four blocks away, and there's like hardly any rain at all here. And he said, well, okay, but it's a thunderstorm here. And then I get up to Albemarle, and there's no rain at all. And I call him again, and I can sense from the way he is talking to me, like, stop calling me with weather. Stop it.
Hey, now it's not raining.
All you care about is weather.
Is it raining where you are? Because it's not raining here.
Right, and that's what I said. And in fact, there was no rain at my house.
Did you call your son and let him know that?
No, because he was sick of me. He was sick of me at that point.
Very localized story.
But there was no rain at my house at all by 10 o'clock.
Like so many evenings, I was dining out at the Palm. Alan's and my clans reveling in the repartee. Walked out under the awning and a storm came on strong. This is all fascinating 'cause it happened to me. Driving home, I called Michael about the rain. Coming down so hard that I thought it would never end. Called a couple more times as the monsoon did extend. But I could tell he didn't want to hear from me again. Did I mention I picked up the check? It was a big one, you understand. We're talking the Palm here, not the Golden Corral Buffet. I make big ducats and this gesture is grand. So I make sure that everyone sees me pay. Oh, did I mention about the rain? Plus this other thing about this lady I didn't comprehend. Turns out she's the wife of a pretty good golf friend. But at my age, that kind of thing will surely happen again.
From Rory from Cleveland. Ooh. Leon's old haunt, Cleveland.
Boom, boy.
Akron. Bonjour. Last week, the great Jerry Negrelli made a reference to a steak and a schwitz. Well, look no further than Cleveland, Ohio, Grandpa. In the Jewish neighborhood of Buckeye here in Cleveland, we have a place called literally the schwitz. It's a throwback of a place for groups of men from all walks of life to enjoy three different steam rooms, an ice bath, and even cots in the locker room for you to take a nap when you feel the urge to just zone out in your bathrobe. After you've sweated it out, you walk upstairs into a dining room with your friends in robes still and enjoy massive steaks with garlic all over them. There's a cooler of Rolling Rock in the corner, but other than that, it's a BYOB type of situation. And you can smoke cigars also. The whole night costs less than $75, but you need to go with someone from the tribe. So what are your plans next Thursday?
There you go.
It's tough to get there, but it sounds like it's fun.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere down in Cleveland way. The best ambiance in the state, Schmitzen and Eden Steak. If you want dinner and a show, it's really only one place you should go. Three generations, zero clothes, Schmitzen and Eden Steak. There's Schmitzen, Schmitzen. For some reason there's never a way. There's Schmitzen, Schmitzen. Yeah, Schmitzen and Eden Steak. Let's Schmitz a while.
It's real, I swear. It's real, I swear. It's on Yelp.
From Charlie Ng in Oakland, California. Gretchen Wu, a Laura Little from Oakland, California, just celebrated her 30th birthday on Sunday. She works at the Loomis Chafee-like prep school we both attended, where she is a Latin teacher. As such, she has a great love of old things like ancient Rome, print journalism, and this show. Please have Nigel send stickers if his head hasn't gotten too big from his time in the orange chair last week. Tell Michael it's dry here in California and ask Kevin if we should be expecting rain anytime this century. Charlie Ng. So anyway, here are the stickers. From Luke Yu in Brooklyn, New York. Hello, Mr. Porthauser. I heard you read an email about Gretchen Wu, the Latin teacher in Oakland, California, on Monday's show. I went to high school with Gretchen. We attended the same Loomis Chafee type situation where she now teaches. I haven't been in contact with her for a decade or so, but it delighted me to know that she's a fellow Little. I have no one to tell about this except you. I thought about sharing with some of our mutual friends, but imagine the explanation. It's a show about DC traffic, leaving movies early, and football picks by monkeys and goddesses. They mentioned Gretchen's name. Yes, she lives in California. Yes, I live in New York City, but we both listen. I got as excited as seeing David Aldridge on TNT. Isn't this a great story? Interested third friend? Gretchen Wu. We have now become the official purveyor of Gretchen Wu news.
How brilliant.
Just
is
sort
this?
Of like a mail.
Dear
stop.
Mr. Tony, this is Gretchen Wu, the Latin teacher from Oakland, California. Please tell Charlie and Luke hello for me, and thank you for acting as our alumni newsletter. I, too, was very excited to hear you say my name while on a birthday retreat in Palm Springs, but my idiot friends just stared blankly at me while I exclaimed, Tony Corners has said my name. Tony Corners has said my name, which is sort of like Aikman touchdown. Unbelievable. This is the best birthday present ever. Tony Corners has said my name and repeatedly and at random intervals. My brother, Christopher Wu, also mentioned hearing about this shout-out from other loyal Littles, and when I asked, do you ever listen to TK, he responded, never.
Here in our Window Nation studios.
From Charlie Ng in Oakland, please ask Gretchen Wu if she's free to get dinner sometime around the holidays. Thanks.
Oh.
From Bill Isaacson, would you ask Gretchen Wu if she knew my Latin teacher, Father Bell? From Gretchen Wu.
Yes.
Please tell Charlie I'm busy this week with parent conferences and the alumni holiday party, but I'm free for dinner next Wednesday or Thursday. Please also ask him if the woman he may one day be related to by marriage will be joining and if he's received the TK stickers from Nigel yet. Thanks, Gretchen Wu.
There you go.
From Charlie Ng in Oakland. Please ask Gretchen Wu if she heard the question from Bill Isaacson on yesterday's show.
Hey, I've got a question. I'm tuning in, need information for life. Like, what's the deal with Macbeth? Couldn't follow any lines. What's your favorite Christmas tune? How's the weather outside? Could you please ask her what's the deal with those hoverboards? The kids have got, they're on fire. And could she use new windows? Cause I know a guy. Mr. Tony, please ask Gretchen Wu. Please ask Gretchen Wu. Please pass along my message to her. Ask Gretchen Wu. Please ask Gretchen Wu. I need Gretchen Wu. Hey! And Charlie Ng, too.
I'm not like M. Philip Kornheiser. I'm not married with kids yet. Or he's trying, right?
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, he should have do whatever he wants.
Wilbon told me that you bought a house next door with the hope that he would move in.
Yes. And he and his wife, mostly his wife, the great Liz Hardwick, looked at me and said, I'm not living next door.
Yeah.
And I said, it's okay, you could get a restraining order. I'm okay with that. He said, no, we're not. So I have this house, and I don't know really
what to do. So Wilbon had a great idea. He said that you should make it the ultimate man cave, and I'd love we could get Carvel over there, give Saliza. I'd go over there, David Alder. I mean, that'd be a blast.
I bought every house in my neighborhood, then I kicked out all my neighbors, went to each house, and said, get the f*** out. No cross-country skiers cruising down the boulevard, no one putting their trash in my backyard. I know that I can only live in just one, but I thought that maybe my only son could share a fence with his parents. Michael, won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Hey, Liz, please, won't you be my neighbor? Please.
That's it, folks. That's the end of the TK Jingles 2015 Year in Review. I hope you've enjoyed our time together and that you agree we've picked some of the best and funniest and most ridiculous moments from 2015 to reminisce on today. Today's episode was made possible thanks to contributions by Byron Cotter, Robert Berg, Jason Fuse, Joe Arrow, Brad Weiss, Steve Lipton, John Neiswinger, and Luke Overbay, as well as all the folks that write the jingles, that perform the jingles, that listen to this broadcast, that send feedback to podcast@tkjingles.com or follow along on Twitter and Facebook. Really appreciate all the support you've given me over this past year, and hope that you stick around. We've got some really fun new things planned for 2016. I really enjoy doing this still, and welcome your feedback, hopefully constructive. I hope that you come back here to listen next week. Thank you.
The friends he begins every weekday attending, the little ones will make for me to sing. For Mr. Tony's views on sports, weather, and news, but mostly for his connection. Trying to find the fire it takes for a pair laced with singers. And if Nigel is kind, perhaps they will find that they wake up on the best TK Jingler. Patrick Ryan and Patrick Moffitt from Sacramento. Judolph Hughes, KJ, Joe, Viva, Hammer, Labretti, Brad Weiss, and Joe Arro.
FanDuel.com, where real people meet up at a tanning salon.